the official Radio 4 birthday of Her Most Gracious Majesty Queen Elizabeth the Queen Mother. We would like to take this opportunity to wish Her Most Royal Majesty a very happy and royal 80th birthday. We should also like to wish Her Most Queen Mother sincere and most groveling greetings on this most royal birthday from her loyal, humble, and 15 more synonym servants, the British Broadcasting Corporation. In addition, we, her most greasy and scraping devotees of Uriah Heep, would like to express our humble and insignificant wish that Her Most Highness receives on this special day her most royal and strawberry jellies, little paper hats affixed with her most twangy and gracious elastic, and better presents in the middle of Her Majesty's crackers than the likes of we nasty, spotty little toe rags who are not fit to lick Her Most Royal coal scum. And to commemorate this most smarmy occasion, the BBC are very in debt to present a special greetings broadcast containing all Her Majesty's favorite programs, beginning with that comedy favorite, The Good Life.
A very wet hello. And talking to one in the studio tonight is that master of the outre, Leon Perrin Lovecraft, who has just brought out what The Guardian calls a strange new collection of suppositories.
Super stories.
No, I think they were making a suggestion. So here now is a clip from one of them.
Ah, those far-off joyous days of my happy childhood in seaside East Anglia are a part of my life I shall never be able to lie about. I was brought up in the rural confines of Death-on-Sea near Misery in Suffolk. My father was the village prude. Every day he would go out and be outraged at various parts of the human body in rotation. Then, when they had stopped rotating, he would stay at home and supervise our education.
Very well, Miranda. You will recite your lesson.
Yes, Father. Perversions. Transvesticism, fetishism, flagellation. Masochism, sadomasochism, transvestomasochism. Automasochism, autoeroticism, troilomasochism. Troiloroticism, sadoeroticism, transvesto-fetishism, fetishotroilism, flagelloeroticism. Lesbianism, sadism, voyeurism, bestiality, adultery, fornication. What comes after fornication?
Smoking.
Smoking, heavy petting, heavy smoking, kissing. Blowing kisses, blowing smoke, heavy blowing kisses. Petting heavy kisses and smoking heavy pets.
Correct. Now go and wash your mouth out with an archbishop.
In those days, we were very much a God-fearing family. This was because every Sunday afternoon, God would come round and beat us up. Later on, we discovered it wasn't God at all, but Luigi Scarlatti and his boys, the local Italian football team. Yet it was a hard life, particularly for my younger brother Edwin. When he was born, Father had put Edwin's name down for one of the country's top public cemeteries. And so it was that every day Edwin would practice hard for his entrance exams.
Test me again on last year's paper, Miranda.
Very well, Edwin. Oxford and Cambridge Joint Examination Board. Death, 3 hours. Question one. You snuffed it, discuss. Question two. Either, one, write a brief essay on the intensive farming techniques of Danish cooperatives, or two, allow rigor mortis to set in. Brackets, marks will be given for tidiness. Question three. Carry out an experiment to prove you are dead on one of the following. A, a bucket, B, the daisy, C, a doornail. Question four. You are still alive. What is wrong with this statement? It seems easy to me.
It's not that bit that's hard. It's the death practical.
The death practical?
Yes. You each have to go into a room in turn, lie down on a marble slab, and then the examiner comes in and pokes you with a stick.
Why is that difficult?
Well, you can never be quite sure exactly which sort of stick to revise for.
Oh.
Today is the official Radio 4 birthday of Her Most Gracious Majesty Queen Elizabeth the Queen Mother. We should like to take this opportunity to wish Her Majesty that the rest of her most royal birthday be as idyllically happy as those moments which have already passed. Unless, of course, Her Majesty was so unfortunate as to accidentally wrick her most foot-like ankle or something during that time, in which case the BBC would like to pass on its most loyal and humble apologies, lest Her Majesty may have thought that we wished her not to enjoy herself on this most occasional occasion. Her most humble servants cannot be expected to know everything, particularly since there's never any answer to these damned birthday announcements year in, year out, despite enclosing a stamped addressed envelope with them, which only leads to be dropped in the postbox after all. And now the special greetings broadcast continues with another favorite, Peter Bowles in To the Manor Born.
Ah, come in, Mrs. Smothskins Buttmergout. Just slip your clothes off, please, and lie down on the couch.
Why?
You do want a mortgage, don't you?
I thought this was the psychiatrist's.
Oh, yes, so it is. What seems to be the trouble, then?
Split personality, Doctor.
In that case, I'm your man. No, just do it. Roll up your psyche for me, would you please? Yes, that's fine. Undo your ego and stick out your id.
Is this far enough, Doctor?
It's dandy for my purposes, Mrs. S. How the old psycho-subliminal neurosis repression works this morning. A bit loose by the looks of the situation.
Hey, don't get any tighter, Doctor.
I see you're almost out of inner space.
Well, the exercises hurt my ears, Doctor.
Well, I'll be candid, Mrs. Smotkin Bonnegut. I've not seen a libido this warm since I was in the Rems. And that's going back a few inches. Frankly, I think...
Right, that's it.
I'm sorry.
I don't like this idea at all.
What's wrong with it?
Well, the principle is faintly amusing, but it's one of those themes that just doesn't develop in a consistently funny manner. Added to which, the lines are extremely reminiscent of N.F. Simpson's early dialogue, and this bit now, with me coming out of the scene and talking about it, is a direct rip-off from a resounding tinkle first performed in 1957.
I see. Well, let's try it in a slightly different way, then.
In the spring of that year, I met a man who changed everything, especially his socks. His name was Sebastian, but his doctors called him Dorothy. And during that summer, he gradually became my closest friend, until eventually Father prized him off with a crowbar. The following April, we married, fell in love, and moved into his strange old house in the country. All at once, life was a joy. Every evening, we would have friends round for supper, and I was convinced I had never been so happy.
Well, Miranda, that was absolutely delicious.
Oh, it was nothing.
Good Lord, so it was. I
thought it seemed a bit light for a souffle. Is there any more left?
Sebastian, any more nothing in the dish?
No, sorry, all gone. It's completely full of custard now.
What a shame, what a shame. Well, it's 8 o'clock. I think I'd better be getting on now. Do you mind?
Yes, get on.
Oh, sorry. In that case, Penelope and I will be going, won't we, dear?
Yes, darling, in a different voice.
Nonsense. The night is yet young. Why don't you stay on and let me lock you both up in a loony bin for a bit?
I beg your pardon?
Let me lock you both up in a loony bin. Have you put away for a few years?
I should explain. It's one of Sebastian's hobbies, amateur psychiatry. The minute he's home from that bank of an evening, he's off on his certifying, and there's just no holding him. Good heavens, in a different voice. That's incredible, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Yes, always been a bit of a psychiatry nut ever since I was a public school. While all the other lads went into the woods to play liberals, I'd always go off to the vicar's and have him committed to a maximum security asylum for the rest of his days. Terrific fun. In fact, I wonder why you've never taken it up, George.
But surely psychiatry is something you need special qualifications for. I mean, there's more to it than just locking people up, you know.
Have you been reading the New Statesman again, George?
Well, only a bit. In any case, the point is that... Sebastian?
Yes?
Doesn't that canary of yours ever get on your nerves?
Yeah, you're right. Buzzy!
Today is the official Radio 4 birthday of Her Most Gracious Majesty Queen Elizabeth the Queen Mother. We should like to take this opportunity to wish that Her Majesty does in fact still live in that big place near the park and has not moved away without telling us. We do hope that this special greetings broadcast is being received by Her Majesty and not, as our court correspondent, Sir Jocelyn Beddoes, fears, 16 families of oily gippos being rehoused by Westminster Council due to an anomaly in the Housing Act. We now nevertheless continue with this special program with one of the Queen Mother's favorite personalities in the Tommy Steele Hour.
Hello, Max? Get me the man who handles the Nolan sisters and tell him it's ruining their image. Next, get me their image and use it to disinfect the drains. Then, go into my bathroom and take down the mirror. I never see myself without an appointment.
Yes, Lord Rush, that'd be great.
I'll be next door in my other theatre taking auditions. Right, gather round, executive minions. This is it. My brilliant new project, the greatest thing since sliced football commentators. I am about to do a 1980s remake of the Mathematical Numbers System.
The Mathematical Numbers System?
Right. You remember the original version? What a smash that was. Really caught on. All the greats were in it. Ooh, there was 1, 2, 3, 4... Rita Hayworth, 6, 7...
I don't think Rita Hayworth was in it, sir.
You're right. It was Fatty Arbuckle.
I think it was 5, sir.
That's it, 5. Used to sing all those close harmony songs. Very wide-bodied girl with 6 legs.
I think that was the Andrews sisters.
Whatever his name was, the point is, I am remaking it. And this time it'll be even bigger.
But the mathematical number system already stretches to infinity. How can it possibly be any bigger?
Simple. 1 is greater than 0, right?
Right.
And, by definition, infinity plus 1 is equal to infinity, since there can be no greater integer than infinity itself, right?
Right.
Therefore, it must follow that either you believe it's possible or you're fired.
Brilliant.
QED.
Right. Now then, I'm about to audition for the new pie. So, off you go. In your own time, please.
The way. 0.14126.
No. Terrible. No originality at all. Next.
3.141596386 49375 60111001.
No, no. Very good up to the 16th digit. Then the irrational component lapsed into cheap binary formation. Also, not enough naked thighs visible. Next.
The rushes for your new screen epic are ready, sir.
Great. Roll them, Max.
Went by, I realized there was something strange about Sebastian's behavior toward me. I was never able to put my finger on it. Except for bank holidays. Another thing, which funnily enough I had never noticed before, was the fact that my new husband possessed the feeding apparatus of a snake. His lower jaw being disjointed from the upper, he was able to swallow entire antelopes and Cape buffalo and sometimes would assume the shape of a recently consumed eland for several days until it had been fully digested. These little quirks I would have forgiven him were it not for one circumstance even more disturbing, which occurred one evening just after we had gone to bed.
Darling?
Yes?
I was talking to my wife.
Oh, sorry.
Darling, do you mind if I ask you a favor?
Of course not, darling.
Darling, I want you to promise me something. That you'll never try and open that small locked door next to the attic in the east wing. That you'll never, ever try and enter that room.
Oh, if you say so, darling.
Or indeed the attic. Give me your word that you'll never try and venture into that attic.
Very well.
Or either of the two old lumber rooms which lead off.
No, of course not.
And that padlock on the bathroom, that you'll never, ever try and undo it and go inside.
Oh, all right, then.
That you'll never, 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 ever try and look into those 15 locked bedrooms on the third floor. Or the dining room, the library, the lounge, the drawing room, the guest chamber, the smoking room, the kitchen, the servants' quarters, the parlour, the storeroom, the cookhouse, the scullery, the basement, or the broom cupboard.
No, very well.
That you'll never, never, ever, ever, never, ever, ever try and remove the bolts and chains to the entrance hall, the box room, the study, the boudoir, the dressing room, the nursery, the wine cellar, the locker room, the wardrobe, the studio, the amateur loony bins, the chapel, the pantry, the outhouse, the coach house, the porch, the veranda, the lobby, the conservatory, the foyer, or the goldfish bowl.
No, I wouldn't dream of it, dear.
It's just that there's something I don't want you to see in there.
I understand, dear, completely.
Fine.
Darling?
Yes, ma'am?
You know those 93 previous wives of yours who all died in suspicious circumstances?
Yes, sir?
Did you say none of their bodies were ever found? Are you all right, dear?
Just a piece of zebra caught in the gullet, yes.
Today is the official Radio 4 birthday of Her Most Gracious Majesty Queen Elizabeth the Queen Mother. We have just heard from our reference department that there is in actuality no such person as the Queen Mother, nor any other members of the so-called royal family who are all figments of the BBC's imagination and just totally made up and pretend. And so, instead, we should like to send our most humble and toadying greetings to the oily jippos who are living in the place near the park on the occasion of their 80th sprig of lucky heather, and would like to wish their most peg-selling Diddy Coinuses the very best rabbit poaching for the future. And now to round off this evening of gala entertainment, another edition of the Oily Jippo's favorite program, Rosie.
This is BBC Pie. And now on BBC Pie, it's time for another edition of Three Gags But First.
Tonight,
Tonight on Three Gags But First, we'll have a profile of David Bellamy. Or if you're naughty, his whole face. Penelope Keith talks frankly about the breakup of her 5-year-long love affair after the parrot got stronger glasses. And the grapefruit with moles growing on top will be telling us about his job as Reginald Bosanquet's stand-in. But first, our special film documentary. This week, we feature a man who once sailed to Mexico in a boat made from egg boxes, sellotape, and washing-up liquid bottles to prove that the ancient Aztecs watched Blue Peter. Tanned thighs explorer and general strange person, Salvador Heyerdahl.
October the 1974th. I have finally completed my newest craft, Contiki 3.1415633279. The hull and underside of this particular vessel I have built entirely from Osmond Brothers. On the principle that if I'm going to be sick, so is the sea. And thus we are ready. On Friday, the pipe, with just a handful of bosoms and only enough provisions to last until they run out, we set off on the first leg of our donkey. Our journey into the past begins amid the southern jungles of Valparaiso in Chile.
Now, according to this, we should just be entering the new Milton Keynes shopping precinct.
No, I think that's where a fly's done a whoopsie on the mouse.
Good gag, so it is. How much water have we got left, Umbuco?
Almost out, sir. I told the men to start diluting it.
On March the 16th, Heyerdahl discovered there was a large hole in his sleeping bag, which explained why he'd been losing so much sleep. This confirmed his worst suspicions. They were now dangerously low on jokes.
July the 1975th. The picture is bleak. The morale of my young second-in-command, Captain Fitzsmuth, is now at its lowest ebb since he came across 3 naked ladies lying under a tree and then discovered he was a mirage. Yesterday evening, he even questioned my wisdom in coming on the trip at all.
I mean, what exactly are you trying to prove, sir?
What I have suspected for many years, Fitzmaugham, that the empires of the ancient world were founded not by the Mayans, or the Incas, or the Phoenicians, but by a housewife from Potter's Bar.
This is the corollary of your theory that the early civilizations shared a culture based on crisply laundered ironing.
Correct. My research demonstrates that the ancient Egyptians possessed a Hoover steam spray with adjustable thermostatic controls far superior to anything we know today.
How can you be so sure of that?
Have you seen the creases in those pyramids?
Thus, we argued on into the night. Then, a month later, while seeking the giant candy-striped stretch cover inside the Amazon basin, comes a breakthrough. We stumbled across an old dying native. He claims to be the very man who flicked water over the Russian steppes so the wrinkles could be removed without scorching. With his final breath, he bade us gather round and then told us a very strange story.
Well, here I am outside the attic, talking to myself for radio purposes. Ah, a shaft of light from under the door. What nameless, unspeakable horror will I find behind it? Ah, oh my God, it's dreadful. It's unutterable. It's It's a man that's so rich, he organizes flood days for Arabs. A man so ostentatious, he wears stained glass contact lenses. A man whose very ears wax lyrical. A man with so much talent, his little finger has gone solo. Mr. Different Adams.
I see comedy as a kind of...
Eric Pyle of Croydon.
Well, Mr. Croydon, so how is the world treating you?
Penicillin, mate.
Isn't he a panic? Well, what's going on up here in the attic? I've just seen a sign saying Happy Birthday, Queen Mother.
Yeah, that's right, mate. Yeah. We got fizzy pop. Jellies, Harold Air comics, everything.
Oh, are you expecting children?
No, it's the way my shirt's hanging.
And I see you've just drunk an entire bottle of sherry.
That's right, yeah.
Shouldn't you have opened it first?
I like it dry, you see.
Stop it, the pain's too great. Well, thank you very much there, Eric.
My wife, she's much more experienced than me, you know.
Yes?
Yeah, she's had more men than I made love to at dinners.
Don't do that with a meat pie.
Sorry.
Now, Mr. Croydon?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Yes, now that another series is over?
Yeah.
What are you going to be doing next?
Well, I've been offered a special job, see?
Mm-hmm.
Carrying out vasectomies on goats.
No kidding.
And that last line replaced the advertised joke, which was considered too funny to broadcast on radio.